I want us to now take our Bibles and open them again to Luke 15. And let's take a real good look at this best known parable of our Lord. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. Everybody's heard probably a sermon on the prodigal son. But there are not many people who see anything in this story except the reformation of a wayward son. About all that people see in this story is the reformation of a wayward son and the deliverance of a man from a wasted life. But this parable, like the other two in this chapter, and Charles Spurgeon once said, if you're going to preach on the prodigal son, you ought to preach also on the lost sheep and the lost coin, because these three parables are really one. This parable of the lost son, like the other two in this chapter, is written to lost sinners, and it's written about lost sinners. The lost sheep pictures the compassion and mercy of Christ in redeeming his lost people. In verse 7, after giving the story of the lost sheep, our Lord said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That's what this story is all about, Christ said, a sinner repenting. That's what the story of the lost sheep is about, Christ finding his own, Christ redeeming his own, Christ delivering his own. And there's joy in heaven over the repentance of a lost sinner. The lost coin shows the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, as the parable of the lost sheep shows the compassion and mercy of Christ in leaving the 99 and going out in the wilderness and finding that which was lost and bringing it home. The story of the lost coin reveals the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit as the woman took the candle and penetrated the darkness and found the lost coin. Even so, the Holy Spirit penetrates the blackness of human depravity and the darkness of human ignorance and reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the lost son, the parable of the lost son. Well, look at verse 10. When our Lord had completed the parable of the lost coin, he said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Over one sinner that repenteth. These parables are to sinners. They're about sinners. They're to sinners. They're talking about the deliverance of sinners. And then the lost son. The lost son reveals the grace and mercy of the Father. The Father in welcoming back that which was lost. And if you'll look hard at these parables, you'll note where the emphasis is placed. And you'll note who the real hero is in each one of the parables. Where is the emphasis in the lost sheep, and who is the hero? Certainly not the sheep that in its dumbness and blindness had wandered away from the fold. The emphasis is placed upon the shepherd. And the real hero of the lost sheep, the story of the lost sheep, is the shepherd. The shepherd who in love, the shepherd who in mercy, left the comforts of home and went out in the darkness and out in the rain and the cold and found that sheep. He searched till he found it. and put it on his shoulders and brought it home and said, "Rejoice with me, for this my sheep was lost, and now it's found." The hero is the shepherd. The emphasis is upon the shepherd. The shepherd went out to search for his sheep. And all through the night on the rocky steep, he searched till he found it. And with love bands he bound it. And I was that one lost sheep. In the story of the lost coin, where is the emphasis? Who is the hero? It's the woman, not the coin. The coin was dead. The coin was lifeless. The coin was content to remain where it was. The coin was content to remain lost. And the emphasis is not upon the coin, and the hero of the story is not the coin, but the woman who was unwilling for that coin to remain lost, and who got a candle and lit that candle and began to search and searched and searched until she found that coin. And even so, the Holy Spirit of God is unwilling for one of God's own to remain lost. And the Holy Spirit of God seeks out the sinner and awakens the sinner and enlightens the mind of the sinner and illuminates the darkened understanding of the sinner and convicts the sinner and reveals Christ to him with the light of the Word of God and brings him home. He finds him. He finds him. In the story of the lost son, who's the hero? Where is the emphasis placed? Well, it's the father. It's not the son, it's the father who's the real hero of this story. The love and compassion of the father, who though the son had rebelled against him and the son had rejected him, yet he loved the son. And he welcomed him back, even though he had rebelled and left and demanded all of these things. The father welcomed him back as though he had never been gone and restored him to his place. For God so loved the world. The emphasis there is not upon the world, but upon God and God's love. For God so loved that he gave, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. I think we miss the spiritual application and meaning of these parables of our Lord by putting the emphasis where it doesn't belong, by glorifying the creature instead of the Creator, by calling attention to the creature instead of the Creator. The hero in the lost sheep is the shepherd. The hero in the story of the lost coin is the woman who found it. And the hero in the story of the lost son is the father. And the emphasis is upon the father. Now I want us to look at four things. First of all, the departure. The departure. And secondly, I want us to look at the far country. And then I want us to look thirdly in this message at the awakening. There was an awakening. And then I want us to look at the return. Now, first of all, the departure. This is a sad time. Verse 12 of Luke 15. And the younger son said, Father, give me. When I read the Word of God and try to prepare a message for you, I try to find those words that convey the meaning of that verse. I try to find the words that I think the Holy Spirit is using to reveal the application of that verse. And these are the three words. Father, give me. Give me. Father, give me. As most children look upon their parents only as a source of supply to meet their needs and their demands, and nothing more. So I think most men look upon God only as a materialistic God who meets their physical and material needs and demands, and he must not fail. Father, give me. I think it'd be good for us sometime to examine our prayers and just see how selfish they are. Here was a young man who rejected his father's authority, who rejected his father's direction, who rejected his father's wisdom, who rejected his father's protection, and wanted his own way. So he came to the father and he said, "Father, give me. Give me." Now this is the reason so many so-called divine healers are successful. These divine healers and these people who promise to their followers material success, they're very popular because this is the characteristic of most sinners today. Give me. Give me. Our Lord gives us an example of that in John chapter 6. I want you to look at this. John the 6th chapter, verse 25. And here a whole host of people were following the Lord Jesus Christ. They were following hard on his heels. John 6, 25. They were following hard upon his heels. And when they found him, John 6, 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when did you come hither? And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me." That's a commendable virtue, isn't it? They were seeking the Lord. It all depends on why they were seeking him. Oh, it's so commendable everybody's in church this morning. Why? It's so commendable everybody's singing the hymn. Why? It's so commendable everybody's praying. Why? Everybody's going about these religious duties. Why? Christ said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." I tell you why you're seeking me, the Lord said. You want some more bread. You want some more fish. That's what you want. That's why you're seeking me. You've got a selfish motive. You're seeking me because I fed you. That's the only reason you're seeking me. He said in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Don't seek me for materialistic gain, physical blessing, to fill your bellies with the things of this world. "Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Father, give me." And if you go out here as a divine healer or a preacher of prosperity, and preach to people that their bodies will be healed and their stomachs will be filled and their bodies will be clothed with fine clothing, their businesses will be successful, you can get a whole host of people to run after you, just like these people ran after the Lord. "Father, give me, give me, give me." That's all I want, you to give me your source of supply. That's what God's for. Well, verse 12. And here's the sad thing, but this is true. We've got to face it. The Father's permission, so the Father gave it. The Father divided unto them his living. The Father let the prodigal have his way. You know, the very thing that men want, that I want, that you want, what is it? It's the very thing we ought not to want. And that is our own way. That's what we want. We want our way. This young man came to his father and he shouldn't have left. He shouldn't have gone. He shouldn't have asked for his inheritance. But he wanted his way. And the father let him have his way. God let Adam have his way in the garden. And man fell. God let Israel have their way in the wilderness. They wanted a king. So God let them have their way. And they crowned Saul, King Saul. And he brought nothing but grief to them. God let man have his way when Christ came down here to the earth. And God put Christ in the hands of wicked men. And they crucified him on the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, where? To his own way. That's what you want. God will let you have it. I'm going to have my way. I live where I want to live. I'm going to work where I want to work. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to run with who I want to run with. I'm going to have my way. And the unfortunate thing about all this is that if you demand it strongly enough, God will let you have it. He'll let you have your way. That's all right. You want your way, you can have your way. But you know, the songwriter put it this way, and Ronnie Lewis sings it quite often, leads a congregation, because I think he likes it about like I do. My times are in thy hands. My God, I want them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hands, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, O God, as best may seem to thee. Father, give me what I want. All right. All right. You can have what you want. You can have what you want. If that's what you want, you're welcome to it. So he took it and he left. Verse 13. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. And he took his journey into a far country. Now this was not God's way. This was his way. This was not the father's wisdom. This was the son's wisdom. This was not the father's direction. This was the son's direction. He went his own way, and it took him into the far country. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. And I'll guarantee you this, that way seems perfectly right to that man. He is sincere in that way. That's the way he feels like he ought to go. That's the way he feels like he ought to walk. That's the way his finite, limited wisdom turns him. It's his way. It's not the right way. It's his way. We'll not have this man reign over us. We'll not have this man reign over us. And each step we take going our way, each step we take is a step farther away from God, farther away from home, farther away from the Father. We're traveling our own way, and it's a dangerous journey. It's a perilous journey because we don't have but one life, and we don't have but one soul. And what shall a man profit if he gain the world and lose his soul? This young man went to a far country, and there he wasted his substance. Sin's always a waste. It says he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance. Well, his substance happened to be money, gold, and silver. Our substance is our health, our character, our years, our time. And after a while, get the picture, this young man spent everything he had. Now, brethren, every journey always has an end. I don't care what journey it is. There's got to be an end of the journey. And every life has an end. It's appointed unto men once to die. One of these days, my strength is going to come to an end. This young man had wealth. This young man had riches. This young man had great possessions. But there's nobody with unlimited wealth and unlimited riches and unlimited possessions. And after a while, it was all gone. Gone. He had spent all. And I start out with a pretty good mind in life. But after a while, the years are going to take their toll on that faculty. I started out with a pretty strong body, but after a while, the years are going to take their toll. I have not unlimited resources. I started out with pretty good health, but one of these days, that source of supply has got to come to an end. I've got to, after a while, spend it. And here the young man is sitting down in the far country, and everything's gone now. It's gone. And I'm saying to you, your beauty in which you trusted is going to one of these days fade into ugliness. And your strength in which you trusted, one of these days you're going to find yourself unable to raise your hand. And your health and your years, you're going to be old. God said, their foot shall slide in due time. Now then, here's a man at the end of life's journey, lying on the bed, dying, or a woman. No beauty, ugliness. No fairness, nothing but old age and wrinkles. No health, that's gone. The journey has ended. We're at the end of the road now. What do you say to that person? What's that hope? What's the hope of that person? What do you say to a dying man? Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? Shall he live again? What profit has there been in all the pleasures of life? What gain has there been in all the things to which you've given your time and your efforts and your strength? This young man spent everything, and he began to be in want. And he even went, verse 15, and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the man sent him out to the hog pen. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. Chiefly because no man in the far country had anything to give him. They were all in the same boat. There was nothing there. They were all in the same famine. They were all in the same hunger. None of them had anything to give. In your dying hour, you turn to the patient in the bed next to you. They don't have anything to give you. They've spent all too. You turn to the doctor who's waited upon your physical body and tried to keep that old heart beating, and he can't do it because he doesn't have power over life, and who's tried to keep your lungs pumping air. He has power over those, does not have power over those lungs. You turn to him, and he has nothing to give you either. There's just one place to turn, and that's to the Father, but you left him. You wouldn't have his way. You wanted your way. There's just one direction to turn, and that's to him who gave you life, but you turned away from him. You said, I want my way. Well, you've got your way. And where's your way brought you? It's brought you down, 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 down to the hog pen, down to poverty, down to death. Well, thank God, verse 17, this young man, it says here, he came to himself. Here's the awakening. He came to himself. He came to himself. My friends, up to this time, the young man had not been thinking. Oh, he had been thinking, but he'd been thinking foolishly. He had not been thinking wisely. Sinners don't think right. God says, your thoughts, you think, but you do not think right. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. There was a young man lying upon his bed one night. Our Lord said, and he was contemplating his riches, his success, and he said, I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. All of my fields are producing plenty. And I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build bigger barns, finer barns, in which to store my goods. And the Lord said to him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Sin is insanity. The word of God said in Isaiah 1:5, the whole head is sick. Sin is insanity. Men do not think right when they're in sin, when they're in rebellion, when they're in the far country, when they've departed from God. Well, this young man got his senses back. He came to himself. And this is the way he began to think. He didn't think like this before, but now he's thinking straight. He says, I'm broke, and my father is rich. I'm completely broke. I'm bankrupt, but my father is rich. I'm hungry. Even the servants in my father's house have enough to eat. I'm perishing. I'm dying. In my father's house, there's life. I will arise and go to my father. Now he's beginning to think. Now he's beginning to use his wisdom. There are two things that a man has to know in order to think wisely, spiritually speaking. Number one, he has to be brought to know his own poverty. He has to know his poverty. He has to know the truth about himself. His own poverty. And secondly, he has to be taught where the riches of life really are. Where is food? In the Father's house. Where is peace? In the Father's house. Where is joy? Not in the far country. Not in having my own way. Where is, back here before he left home, where's joy? Getting out from under the power of the old man. Where is riches? It's getting out of this house and getting down to where I can have my own way. That's where riches are. That's where joy is. That's where delight is. That's where pleasure is. It's down here where I want to be. Did you find it? Young man, did you find what you're looking for? No, I didn't find. What did you find? I found poverty. And he enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. I found poverty. I found hunger. I found sickness. I found selfishness. I found greed. I found war. I found unhappiness. Young man, where is happiness? It's back home. It's in the Father's house. Young man, where is joy? It's in the Father's head. Don't you have any joy? I'm broke, and I'm hungry, and I'm homesick. Now, if a fella ever gets brought by the Holy Spirit to that place, he's beginning to think. He's beginning to think. And then notice his determination. I'm a fool to stay where I am. I'm a fool to stay where I am. Nobody but a fool to stay down here where I am in poverty. Nobody but a fool to stay down here in unhappiness. Nobody but a fool would stay down here in this far country when there's plenty to eat at home, when there's wealth at home, when even the servants, even the angels of God have plenty. And here I am wallowing down here in the hog pen. Unhappy, my soul like the troubled sea. Poor, broke, hungry, homesick. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going home. I'm going home. And verse 20, and he arose. And he arose. Now why sit you there? Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the tomb of the dead. Get out of the graveyard. Throw off your shackles and chains. Arise! Make a move! Don't just sit there. Arise. I'm going to arise. I'm getting out of here. And I'm going to go to my Father. I can but perish if I go. I'm resolved to try. For if I stay where I am, I know I shall forever die. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to the Father. And I'm not going up there with a cocky attitude like I had when I left. Father, you don't owe me anything. Oh, different boy here now. Here he is in verse 12. Father, give me what's mine. The sinner doesn't come home that way. He leaves that way. But he doesn't come back that way. He comes back saying, Father, I have sinned. I sinned against heaven and in your sight. You don't owe me nothing. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I'm not asking to be made a son. I'm not asking to be restored to the place of sonship. I'm just asking you to make me a servant. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. The Syrophoenician woman at the feet of Christ, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was at the point of death, who had begged the master to heal her daughter, and the master said, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She said, Lord, help me. It's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. That's right, Lord. I'm not asking you to consider me as a child. But I'll tell you this. The dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I'm willing to be a dog. Just let me eat the crumbs from your table. And this son came home and he said, Father, not asking to be made a son. I'm just tired of the far country. I'm not asking for a position of power. I just want to get out of that far country. Father, I'm not asking you to make me an heir. I just want to leave that place and I want to come home. And if you'll just make me a hired servant, but let me stay at home. Let me be under your dominion. Let me be under your power. Let me be under your authority. Let my life be directed by your wisdom. I want to be with you. That makes sense. Old Barnard used to say, seek the Lord. I don't know whether he'll save you or not. I can't guarantee it. Did this boy deserve to be taken back? Uh-uh. Did this boy deserve the position of sonship? He left it. He forfeited it. He gave it up. Do you deserve to be a child of God? Huh? Don't tell me you do now. I know better. You gave that up. You forfeited that. You left your inheritance. You ran from God. You wanted your way, and God gave it to you. He doesn't owe you anything. But I'll tell you what you better do. You better seek his mercy. Because you're going to die where you are. And you're going to hell where you are. And you continue in rebellion against God. You're going to feel the whip of his wrath where you are. And I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd come like this boy. I'd come home. And I'd come home with my hands out in front of me empty. And I'd come home on my knees. And I'd come home asking for mercy. I'd come home at the feet of the Father. And I'd say, don't owe me nothing. But I sure be much obliged if you'd take me in somewhere. Because even the servants in your house have enough. This father saw the son coming. Verse 20, he arose, but when he was a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and still loved him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Thank God. Here's the love of God. Here's the love that passeth understanding. Here's the love, the depths of which no man can reach and the height of which no man can understand. Here's that love that reaches a lost son in a far country and loves him. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he loved us and Christ died for us. And the father ran to meet him and put his arms around him and says, Welcome home. Welcome home. I heard a story some years ago. There was a young man who left home, ran away from home. And he was gone for a long, long time. This was back years ago. And his fortunes were not too good. And he became mighty poor and mighty hungry. His body and health broken and diseased. But he used to ride the freight train through his hometown. Every once in a while, he'd catch a freight train. It'd go through the hometown. His mom and daddy lived down near the railroad tracks. And every time he'd go through that town, sitting in the boxcar, he'd look out there and see his mama's house and his daddy's house. And he'd ride right on through the town. And one time he came through the town, and he threw a note off the boxcar onto the platform, station platform, addressed to his mother and daddy. And somebody found it and took it to him. And he told how homesick he was and how tired he was of roaming. And he told them he realized that they didn't owe him anything, that he left on his own, and that he had sinned against them and he'd done them wrong. But he said, I'll be coming back through here next Thursday. And if you want me to come home, he said, you hang a white towel out on the clothesline in the backyard. When I pass through town, I'll see that white towel, and I'll get off the train. And so the Thursday came around, and he was on this freight train, and it was coming through his hometown. It was coming to the outskirts of the town. He's standing there in the boxcar door looking out, and the wind blowing in his face. And after a while, he rounded the bend, and he saw his daddy's house. And then he looked, and he saw the backyard. And on the clothesline was a white towel. And next to it, a white sheet. And next to that, a white bedspread. And next to that, a white shirt. And hanging all over the lines was white underwear. And she'd gone to the neighbors and borrowed everything they had white. And she'd put it all over the clothesline and all over the fence and out on the tree. That whole backyard was nothing but white clothes just hanging everywhere. Welcome home. Well, my lost friend, Almighty God is the hero in this story. He so loved his son, this world, that he gave his son to die for our sins. Now, you tired of the far country. You realize your poverty and your hunger. Do you realize that you're bankrupt? Are you tired? I invite you to come home. And I've got reason to believe that the Father will welcome you. And he'll forgive all your sins. And he'll take you in, not as a servant, but as a son. And you'll feast at his table all the days of your life. But you've got to come home. You've got to arise and come home. When you get tired, I believe you will. I believe you will. Our Father in heaven, we pray that it may please thee to take thy word and make it like us. Piercing, convicting arrow, sharp, two-edged sword, and go past these natural ears that like to be tickled, and plunge deep into our hearts and break them and crush them, and reveal unto us our poverty and our hunger and the depths of our despair and the evil of our sins, and make us tired of it. Oh, God, make us tired of it. Show us where real joy is. Show us where real peace is. Show us where the bread of life really is, where that crystal fountain of living water flows at the throne of God, at home. Bring sinners home. We can't do it, our Father. We can only preach to them, but you have to show them their poverty. I can't do it. You have to show them the emptiness of the far country. You have to show them the folly of sin. I can't do it. You're going to have to make them tired of it. And you'll have to reveal to them thy grace and the beauty of Christ and the welcome home that's prepared for all who come. Grant it, our Father, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.